Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. I had a good night's sleep and did my favorite day of the week, and I believe I'll start the prayer. Then get ready, cause I gotta get there. Soon as I get through the door, my hands up, feet off the floor, cause all the saints, we go to work. That's how we do it down at my church.
Rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy court with praise. Good morning, everyone. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this July 2nd. 2023. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, but as always, I am joined by the anointed servant leaders and Spirit Alive family, hallelujah, in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Minister Tina Brown. And as always, we love having in the house with us Brother Lee and Sister Terry Larson. We love having Aunt Nita in the house. Hallelujah. And of course, we love our minister. We just love all of you that are here, and we're so glad that you're here with us this morning. Right now, we are going to go to an opening word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come now before your throne of grace, singing your praises, singing thanksgiving, because you are great and greatly to be praised. Lord, we ask that you just come in and bless our worship service. Hallelujah. So that people all over the world might magnify you, glorify you, and that they might be edified, Father God. We pray, Lord God, that this worship service, hallelujah, would cause someone to give their lives to you, that would come to you and ask you in the pardon of their sin. Lord, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to come together as a family, to love on one another as we love on you. Lord, let our light so shine so that people will glorify you in heaven. And we, Lord God, will be beautiful and excellent representatives, vessels of honor for your kingdom and your glory. It is in Jesus' name we do pray it all. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We all should want to be more like Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we are blessed to have the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, come and read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So at this time, we're going to ask that Mother comes forth and renders the reading of the day. Amen.
And good morning, everyone, again. And I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or how far you are. I love you, and God loves us all. The meditational reading for this morning is Be Established in God's Righteousness. We'll be looking at Isaiah 54 and 14. Is righteousness, in righteousness you shall be established, you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror you shall, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Now, have you ever asked yourself why some Christians are constantly beset with overwhelming challenges, sickness, and defeat? If God promises no weapon formed against you shall prosper, in verse 17 of Isaiah, is true. Well, the promises come with a condition. It's righteousness, and righteousness you shall be established. When you are established in righteousness, you will be far from oppression and terror. And not a single weapon formed against you will prosper. The confidence is not based on meat. For a start, you already have righteousness. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you receive the gift of righteousness, which enables you to reign in life. You can read about that in Romans 5 and 17. This righteousness does not come from you being from you, but the Lord. And you can read about that in Isaiah 54 and 17. And when you are established in His righteousness, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. What does being established in righteousness mean? Take established in something is to have that something in your very foundation for security. For God wants you to know, be sure of, and grow in the revelation that you are righteous by the blood of Jesus, by His perfect sacrifice at the cross. When you feed as... When you feel as if you are in a storm, tossed here and there, and you begin to experience worry and fear, remind yourself of who you are in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ, and you have His righteousness. As you do this, you will begin to notice that worry and fear slide off you. Excuse me. Begin to experience worry and fear. Remind yourself of who you are in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ, and you have His righteousness. As you do this, you will begin to notice that worry and fear slide off you. For when you are established in righteousness, you shall be far from oppression. For you shall not fear, and from terror it shall not come near you. That is why God wants you to be established in righteousness. He wants you to be free from fear and far from oppression and terror. So when the pressure is on, hold fast to the belief that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. That is when no weapon formed against you will prosper. As you keep believing and confessing your righteousness in Christ, revelation will break forth and you will experience the release of God's miraculous promises, provision and provision, divine protection and blessing into your life. Amen. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his awesome and mighty word. The thought for the day, when you are established in his righteousness, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. And God bless him who heard the word.
example unto others who are lost. We must sow that ultimate seed, which is the love of Jesus, so that they may come into the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We should always, always sow seeds of love. Amen. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we go to the Lord individually and collectively, standing in the gap for our brothers and sisters all over this world. Because we understand that we speak to nations, and we want to bless nations with our prayers and our supplications and our petitions, because if it's happening to our brothers and sisters, no matter where you are, we are prepared to pray until something happens. So right now, I would like for you to just clear your mind, bow your hearts and your heads, and prepare to go to the throne room with our anointed apostle, Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you this morning. God bless you, Apostle Shirlene. We're going to go right into prayer, going to the throne of grace in behalf of all these things that we need to be lifting up before the Lord this morning. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you asking, Lord, that you would bless us this morning, that you would forgive us this morning. Forgive us, Lord, for anything, for sin, unknown or known. And we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for anything that's down on the inside of us, Lord, that would displease you this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us, that you would remove. If there's anything, Lord, that is hidden, that you would surface it so that it can be fixed. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, we come to you, Lord, praying for our nations this morning, our nation as well as all the other nations. Pray for the entire world in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, that you would move mightily among these nations, Lord, that are in such conflict with one another right now. We pray for these nations. We lift up Israel. We lift up Syria. We lift up all the other surrounding countries. We pray where there is conflict. We pray for peace this morning.
Yes.
We pray for peace. Hallelujah. All over the world. In the name of Jesus, your peace, God. Hallelujah. Your peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. We pray for peace. We pray for mercy. And we pray for justice in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. We bind evilness all over our nations in the name of Jesus. We pray for unity among spiritual leaders. We pray for wisdom. We pray for righteousness. Hallelujah. Where there is unrighteousness, we pray, Lord, for righteousness, your righteousness in the name of Jesus. Mm. We pray for the unsaved in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Those that are in our own homes and those that are in our communities, all around us, our neighborhoods. We pray, Lord, hallelujah, that you would touch, that you would use us, Lord, that we would be reaching out even the more, hallelujah, to save souls in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, and all across the world. Hallelujah.
Yes,
those that are unsaved, we pray that you would touch them.
Lord,
hallelujah.
Lord,
they would be drawn this morning by your spirit, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. They will be ready in Jesus' name to give their lives over to you, Lord, to totally surrender in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To be transformed. Hallelujah. Willing. Hallelujah. To live for you, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And to be used in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, prepare them. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you, hallelujah, for what you're doing. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that righteousness will be established in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for those that are shut in this morning. We pray for those that are feeling forgotten. We pray, Lord, that you would touch, that you would instill hope, hallelujah, faith, and
Lord,
that they will feel your presence and your love this morning, hallelujah, through many of us, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, all over the world, hallelujah, that your leaders will touch, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, for those that are in bondage in all kinds of places, hallelujah, in jails, prisons, juvenile halls, hallelujah, hallelujah, those that are just feeling imprisoned, even those that are not, we ask, Lord, that you would touch in the name of Jesus, that you would bring them out of their bondage, that you would save them, that you would allow them to know that there is a better way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Enlighten them today with your spirit, God. Draw them with your spirit in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would look on those that are being abused in all kinds of ways. We lift up the children, hallelujah. We lift up all of those that are vulnerable right now and others are taking advantage of them. We pray that there will be an end to it, God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We pray that you step in, God, hallelujah.
Yes.
In
yes,
the name
Lord.
Of Jesus, bring them to freedom. In the name of Jesus,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
Lord. Oh, do it, God. Do it in the name of Jesus, hallelujah.
Can.
We lift up the abusers, Lord. We pray, hallelujah, that they will change. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That their lives will change. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Oh, do it, God. Do it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you. Hallelujah. We pray for your strength, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Strengthen them, Lord. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, with your power. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. We lift up the Christians that are being persecuted.
Yes,
Lord.
Lord,
to touch. Hallelujah, that you would move in the name of Jesus in a supernatural way, in miraculous ways for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch them.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Touch them, Lord. Hallelujah, with your power. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, we pray your hand of protection upon them, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, we thank you, we lift up those, Lord, that are standing in need of deliverance this morning, hallelujah, from all kinds of sins, hallelujah, oh God, from substance abuse. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you would touch. Oh, God, bring them out, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, hallelujah, also for those, Lord, that are just drifting, and we pray that they will look to you in their situations. We lift up the homeless. We pray for their situation, Lord. Hallelujah. We pray that you would visit all these encampments, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That many will know you that don't know you in the name of Jesus. And those, Lord, that are receiving food and receiving shelter, some of them, and some of the things that they need right now, we pray, Lord, hallelujah, that they will look to you, God, in the name of Jesus, that they will know that through you their needs are being met, that it's you, hallelujah, that they will look to you, God, hallelujah, not just us that are serving them, but that they will know you, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, that they will be free, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, for what you're doing. We pray for families. We pray for the family this morning, hallelujah, all over the world. We pray, hallelujah, for your women and men. We pray, Lord, hallelujah, that they will be mindful of their children, and that they will want to raise their children in the right way, Lord, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. That many will turn to you, God, in Jesus' name, so that their families, hallelujah, will know you in the pardoning of their sins. We pray for those that are listening in this morning to Spirit Alive Ministries, that they will be touched, that someone, hallelujah, will accept you today and be saved.
Bless you.
We pray for all the leaders, hallelujah, that are listening in as well. We ask, Lord, that you would touch. And if there's anyone that's sick among us today, hallelujah, those listening in as well as the leaders, we pray that you would touch and heal in Jesus' name. We pray for breakthroughs and miracles to take place in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that you're hearing our prayers and you're answering our prayers. We thank you for it in Jesus' holy and righteous name. We lift up Apostle Shirlene Cook this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen her, and bless her, and bless the ministry and all the other ministries. Hallelujah. We pray for Mother Mitchell. We thank you for her presence this morning. Hallelujah. And we praise you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Nehemiah 8 and 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When we receive a word from the Lord, our answer should be amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen.
Yes.
Let the church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. Yeah. Let the church, let them say amen. If you believe the word, let the whole church say amen. God has spoken, so let the church say amen. Lift your hands, lift your hands. God has spoken, so let the church say amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. God has spoken, so let the church say amen.
Know you've got a word that has come from above.
Hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's message. And if you've been coming and joining us on Sunday mornings, you know that the family and I have been going through the book of Acts, chapter and verse, because I truly believe, hallelujah, if the first century church could operate in a way that glorifies God, that we, the church today, should and can be doing the same thing. So please, retrieve your Bibles if you haven't already done so, and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 20. And today, we will be looking at verses 28 through 38. Hallelujah. If you are listening via your computers, you are welcome to go to BibleGateway.com, type in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 38. Now, before I begin, I just want to give honor to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to give honor to these beautiful servant leaders here at Spirit Alive and to all of you, our family and friends and listeners all over the world. Now, the Word of God reads as follows. Acts chapter 20, I'm beginning with verse 28, and I will read through verse 38. The Word of God reads as follows. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking for perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how to so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace, asking that I completely decrease so that you might have all the increase, all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. Lord, I pray that you will use this message, hallelujah, to build up, to encourage, to empower. And I pray, Lord God, that you are lifted up in a way that you can draw many men unto yourself this day. It is in your name that I do pray it all. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, saints, I'm pretty sure that everyone within the sound of my voice wants to be healthy. And I would also venture to say that if anyone is struggling with health problems, they will be quick to tell you that they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You see,
amen,
they want to be healed because they want to be running on all cylinders. Nobody like being sickly, weak, or run down. And it's the same with God's church. He wants his church to be healthy, flourishing, and thriving. And having a healthy church is very important to me. So today we will be looking at some of the main components of a healthy church. Now, family, I'm going to go ahead and put you on notice right now that I will not be apologizing for my passion or my conviction. Now, there are a lot of things that go into making a healthy church. Now, the biggest factor is that we all recognize that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and that we
yes.
all must submit ourselves to him. Now,
Amen.
In our text, Paul is meeting with the leaders from the Ephesian church, and he is giving them what he believes are his last words. Now, as it turns out, Paul is actually able to visit them later, but he didn't at the time, he did not think he would ever see them again when he met them in Acts 20. So Paul gives them his best advice on how to be a healthy church. And I really think it would benefit us to pay heed to these words of Paul and see how they might apply to our church as a whole, as well as to each of us as individuals. Because
yes.
if God's people are growing in spiritual health, then his church will be a healthy church.
Amen.
So
man.
How then do yes. we keep growing in our spiritual health? Well, let's look at a few sound words of advice from the Apostle Paul. The first thing he tells us in Acts 28 through 31, he says, watch out. He says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be mm-hmm. shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Because he said, now listen, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing we see, he says, watch yourself. And he's
yes.
talking to leaders and followers. You see, leaders
yes.
need to watch over one another, because this is one of the reasons that there are so many moral failures and scandals amongst pastors and other Christian leaders. We need to submit to ourselves first to God, and then we need to be accountable to one another. Hallelujah. We need
yes.
to allow ourselves to be looked after. Because you see, some leaders won't let anybody close enough to them to give them permission to watch over them. They're not going to let you get close enough to them to really look inside and get a real view of who they are. But then again, sometimes folks are just so busy with their own lives and pursuits that they don't have time or awareness to watch over anyone else.
Amen.
They have a hard enough time just keeping themselves on track. Amen?
Amen.
Now, and I want you to hear me again. Please don't think that this only pertains to pastors or official leaders, because we all need to watch ourselves. Every
yes.
child of God is a leader
yes.
or influencer simply by reason of our faith. People
right.
will look at
yes.
our lives and either take their cues from us as to what God is like, or they will just simply continue in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
We must watch ourselves because, one, others are watching us, and two,
yes.
it keeps us, hallelujah, living and walking in holiness and righteousness. It keeps us in right standing with God. And then he goes on to say, watch over others, like
yes.
shepherds watch over sheep. Now, this has to do with people who are leaders within the church watching over the flock. Now, and again, I want you to remember that every Christian is a leader in some way.
Amen.
As a parent, have you ever asked an older sibling to watch over a younger sibling? Now, sometimes they don't turn out so good, but sometimes it can help teach the older sibling to be responsible for someone other than him or herself.
Amen.
And sometimes the younger sibling watches over the older in that everything gets back to mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Or they go tell it. They spill the coffee, the tea, the Kool-Aid, or they tell everything. But you see, we are all accountable to each other and to God. So we need to watch each other's back, and we need to help others see danger before it has a chance to harm them.
Yes.
We need to keep encouraging one another so that we will all keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
You might say that encouragement
is the sunshine that causes God's garden to grow. You see, all water, no sunshine makes for a dismal garden. So we need to help provide warmth and light, the light of encouragement to one another as we watch over ourselves and those around us. We need to help meet needs. We need to help encourage. We need to help teach and train others. Hallelujah. All this boils down to thanks to God is my favorite thing in the whole wide world. Discipleship, fellowship, and ministry to one another. And the third thing to remember as we watch over others and ourselves is remember who the church belongs to. You see, verse 28 says that Jesus bought the church with his own blood. Therefore, the church belongs to him. The church does not belong to any person down here. It doesn't belong to a pastor. It doesn't belong to a bishop or an apostle. Every church, every ministry belongs to the Most High God, Jesus Christ. Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16 that he would build his church. He would not build it on Peter, but he was going to build that church upon Peter's confession that Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Every believer you see around you in our communities belongs to God.
Amen.
So think twice the next time you get mad and say something about somebody in the body of Christ. We are all a part of the bride of Christ, from the youngest to the oldest. You see, isn't that so important that I get my way? But what is important to me is that Jesus gets his way in his own church. So what I want each and every one of you to do this morning is ask the Lord, how can I be a part of what you are doing in your church? See, and when you do that, he will help you fit in exactly where he wants you to be, because you will be exactly where you belong. Now, not only does a healthy church watch over its family members, but the people of the healthy church will work hard to provide what is needed. That's point number two. We work hard. Verse 32 through 34 says, "Now I commit you to God and the word of grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all of those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourself know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions." Now, before we jump in and start talking about how hard we need to work, notice verse 32. Paul commits these people to God and to the word of his grace. Why? Because God's grace builds people up.
Amen.
No matter how hard we work and try to make things happen, at the end of the day, we need to know and understand that it is God's grace that brings the results that we need. It's not about the thing that we do. It's not because we deserve it. It's because of his grace.
Amen.
So in the midst of our discussion about hard work, we need to remember that it's only by his grace that we can accomplish anything. And we're going to need it. Because, see, the kind of hard work I'm talking about is hard work to avoid a covetous heart.
Jesus.
I find that covetousness usually arises from desire, not from me. I'm telling you the truth. You know, we'll look around and see something that someone else has, and there we go. We want it for ourselves. And for most of us, it's not so much about what we need, but we sure do want it.
Now,
I didn't really think I had a big problem in this area, but after I really thought about it, and I want to get real because I don't want anything to separate me from the love of God, and I had to think about it, and I had to admit, I have been guilty of coveting every now and then. You know, sometimes I look around in a nice car and say, I want one of those. Now, say to God, now you know this is a case of I want and instead of I need, because I can't even drive. Okay? Okay. You know. And while I was looking, I was quickly reminded of that. And I was also reminded that some of the people who drive them can't afford them any more than I could. But they drive them anyway. So I have to confess that sometimes I have admired things that belong to others. Now, there's nothing wrong with admiring some of these things as long as we do not become infatuated with them and begin to wish that they were our own.
Amen.
Now, if you have trouble being glad for someone else when they have something you like, then you might be getting really close to coveting that possession. Someone once said that it is not coveting as long as we do not wish to dispossess the other person. But the main thing I want you to get here is we can't get caught up with the desire to acquire. Because when we do that, we will miss God's purposes for our lives.
Yeah.
So how do we work hard to avoid a covetous heart? Well, one way is to simply learn contentment. Uh-huh. That's how what we need to do. Some of us learn to be content where we are and with what we have, because contentment comes from trusting God, just as Paul told the Philippians in verse 4:11-13. He said, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, because I can do all things through him that strengthens me. I can also tell you that King David knew something about contentment when he wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or lack. You see, because he gives me everything that I need. Everything that I have belongs to him. And he and he alone will provide all that I need.
Amen.
So what else should we work hard at? Well, we should work really hard to provide for ourselves and our family. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediately family, he has denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. You see, we need to understand that God provides, but we have to do our part too. See, you need to know and understand that Paul didn't just sit around saying, God will provide. No. See, Paul worked hard to earn a living for himself and for others. In fact, there were times when Paul may have wanted to devote all his time and energy into ministry, but he still worked on the side. He could have received donations. This is where I get who I am from. And as he points out in 1 Corinthians, he even had a biblical basis to receive wages for preaching the gospel. However, hallelujah, he chose to be entirely self-supporting so that the gospel would have maximum impact. Hallelujah, that's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Most of the other apostles did not accept they did accept the generosity from other Christians. However, Paul rarely did. Perhaps only from the Philippian Christians. The point here is that there is nothing wrong with working hard on a job to support yourself and your family, as long as that job does not keep you from doing what God has called you to do. See, I had to learn that the job has to be what I call ministry compatible. And if it isn't, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a good possibility that the Lord may have another job in mind for you. Now, even though the transition may not be possible overnight, hallelujah, God will always make way for your ministry. He will make room for your gifts. And your job will have to line up under his word and his authority. And we see evidence of another benefit of working hard on the job. Hallelujah. Our testimony, our example goes before us.
Yeah.
And we need to work hard to support the ministry. You see, Paul took care of his own needs, but he also supplied the needs of his ministry team. There were other times when Paul actually raised funds from churches to help the church at Jerusalem, which was in great need. It is biblical to support the work of the Lord in tithes and offerings.
Yes.
Certainly, as a good steward, you should be aware of how money is used, but never stop honoring God with what he blessed you with. And may I point out right here now, your tithe consists of more of your money. It consists of your talent. It consists of you coming together with others and doing whatever you can to glorify God and make a difference in the lives of other people.
Yeah.
Now, if you happen to be attending a church that's irresponsible with their money, I'd encourage you to talk to the leadership.
That's right.
And I would see what you can do to help correct the problem. Now, if there is no accountability or guidelines and the leadership refuses to be good stewards, then I suggest that you find other ways to honor the Lord with your time, talents, and finances. And we'll talk about some of those ways in a moment. Because I believe that it's God's plan to give all of those things to a local church, especially when those resources are truly being used to reach people and to bring them closer to God.
Amen.
Now, I just told you, now we get to our final point. We need to be generous. A healthy church is a generous church.
That's right.
Amen. Verse 35 says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept. And they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was that his statement was that he would never see their face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship." You see, Paul didn't just sit around talking about being generous. Paul led by example in his hard work and in his generosity. We already see how he worked to help cover his companions. He also worked so he could give to the poor.
Yes.
Now, I would encourage you to support some of the valid ministries that are truly helping needy people. It's nothing wrong with doing your due diligence and doing your research. Or you can give towards things like disaster relief. Listen, we can find many ways to help provide food, clothing, and shelter for those that cannot provide it for themselves. You see, God loves generosity. Why? Because it reflects his own heart and nature. Stinginess is completely out of step with God's character. God so loved that he gave. And when God gave, there were no strings attached. He just gives and gives. He just loves and keeps on loving, wanting only the best for each and every one of his children that he created. Hallelujah.
Thank God, we
can't be stingy. We can't be stingy with the word of God. We can't be stingy with the love of God. We can't be stingy with our prayers. We can't be stingy with our finances.
Yeah.
We can't be stingy with anything that God gives us because we are blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
You see? And as we seek to be good stewards, let's not think that God is impressed by how tight-fisted we are. When we stand before God, he will be much more impressed by what we gave away.
Amen.
But about what we accumulate or try to hold on to.
Yeah.
See, I love what Bishop Lester says. He says, you know what? The more God gives me, the faster I give it away. The more I pour into other things and other people, the more I, because you see, when you're not afraid to let it go,
mm-hmm.
God doesn't mind giving you some more.
Yeah.
You know.
And
then I'm not concerned about storing up, hallelujah, riches down here. I'm not concerned about getting a pat on the back down here. I'm concerned about storing up my treasures, all my riches in glory. Because one day I want to hear my Heavenly Father say, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful and generous with everything that I gave you. Now you can enjoy the true riches that last for all of eternity.
Yes.
Thank you, God, as we seek to be a growing and healthy church to help people find God and live better lives, let's remember the parting words that Paul gave to the Ephesian elders. Watch over God's people, including yourself. You see, watching out for one another will make us closer as a family, and it will also make sure that everyone is cared for. Jesus told us in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I loved you, you also are to love one another. Saints of God, we need to work hard to avoid covetousness or greed.
Amen.
And to provide for ourselves and for others. We must obey Romans 12:15, where it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. Listen, I don't get jealous. I don't get upset when I see God blessing somebody. I ain't worried about that. I'm going to celebrate and do the holy dance with you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because God is blessed. Because all that says to me, that God is still in the blessing business. So if you got yours, eventually I'm going to get mine. But until I get mine, I'm going to praise and shout and glorify God for what he's doing in your life.
Preach, girl. Preach.
We need to be generous by helping those who can't help themselves. We need to live with an open hand. You know, all of these things will make a healthy church. It will be a church of integrity, and it will have open arms to those in need. You know, I have no interest and being the kind of body of Christ that is simply trying to get something from people. I don't want anything from you. See, Spirit Alive wants to be the kind of church that gives people a taste of what heaven's going to be like. You see?
Thank you.
We want you to understand about joy. We want you to understand and hear our celebration, hear our worship, hear our love, hear our acceptance. We want you to hear our peace and contentment and our unity and so much more. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're not concerned about who gets the credit.
We're just
concerned about God getting the glory.
Amen.
I don't know about nobody else, but I'm here to testify right now. I can't wait to get the Spirit Alive praise and worship experience on Sunday morning. I am blessed by the people that God has sent here. I am blessed by the servant leaders. I am blessed by the worshipers. Hallelujah. I am blessed to be in the service of people that is not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I am blessed to work alongside co-laborers that simply want to disciple God's people and to have them to grow up and to have all revelation of who he is and their place in him. Hallelujah. It sets my soul on fire. Yeah. Because we are walking around just sowing seeds of love. Hallelujah. That seed of love may just be a smile. That seed of love might just be a conversation where we sit and listen. That seed of love might just be giving someone a sandwich or acknowledging somebody is in the room. Hallelujah. That seed of love might be a financial gift. But most importantly, the seed of compassion, the seed of the love of God is what this world needs, because when God tells us to do something, our only response should be yes and amen.
Yes.
God has called us to be here for his people. He has called us to train up and teach his people. He has called us to love his people and show them who he is, hallelujah, so that he might be glorified, so that he might be lifted up, hallelujah, so that he might be praised, hallelujah, so that people would be coming running to him for everything, because they will know, they will truly believe that he is able to do everything. Amen. And amen. I praise God because I truly believe that we have a healthy church here. Because we have love here.
Thank you, Paul.
And we know that we all belong to God. And we know that this is his ministry. And we know that he provides our every need. We don't have to be stingy with anything. We don't have to be out front. We don't mind working in the trenches. And I praise God that, see, this is just a reflection of what these servant leaders do on the daily. They're going out amongst God's people. They're teaching on their job. Hallelujah. They're blessing on the street. They're doing what they need to do everywhere they go.
Yeah.
And for that, God be praised. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
At this time, I'm going to ask our prophet and intercessor and pastor, Pastor Vanessa, to come forth and to pray and seal this message. And then I will give to everyone that feels so led an opportunity to give their life to Christ. That will be followed by praise from all of our listeners that are in the sanctuary this morning. Please, if you would like to have a word, press 1 on your keypad, and that will let me know that you would just like to have a word or let the saints know that you are here. Hallelujah. And then we will have a word from our bishop, because we truly love our brothers here at Spirit Alive, and we truly want them to be in their special, their rightful place. So we will hear a word from Bishop Lester Carver. But right now, let's hear a word from Pastor, Intercessor, and Prophet Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Bishop Cook, Papa Cook, for your word. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Okay. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure. Father God, I just thank you today for the woman of God just ministering to us at such a place of fervor, such an exact point word. I thank you, Lord, today for being on exactly what we need as leaders. But also encourage. Thank you, Lord, today for filling her and restoring her, Lord, in every place where there is lack, because she can. Was strengthened by the Lord. And I, Lord, from every word that we hear from this, I truly believe it's not, I've said this several times, but I just feel led to say it again. It is an alarm. And I thank you, Lord, that we heed you speaking through her, that we are receptive to your word, that we self-examine ourselves, that we begin to pray and serve with a better attitude. But we do need to take more time of taking care of our relationship with you and understanding the order in which you speak on.
Lord God.
I thank you for her word, Lord, that she spoke about order and the ordination and the origin of the church and who it comes from. Thank you, Lord. Christ-centered believing, Christ-centered serving has to always be put forth. And I just thank you, Lord, today for that. That's what got my attention. And I thank you, Lord, today for every person living all over the, listening all over the world.
Yes, Lord.
That we begin to, Lord, speak to you specifically. Thank you for the ability to hear and apply this word and the, even the desire to apply this word every day. And that we let go of things that we can't control and put them in your hands. I thank you, Lord, for every leader listening today that's carrying false weight, that has false alliances, that they begin to walk out in faith in what you've told them to do. And I thank you, Lord, today that they do it quickly. There are many things that are lined up.
Yes,
Lord. Community.
Yes, Lord.
People in the city or maybe even in, on their job to start a ministry and to minister and we have to change how we look at ministry. And ministry versus what you say. So I thank you for this fruitful word. I know it is going to be fruitful for many of us. I pray and believe and declare that this word will be fruitful and that we will see the fruit in our lives and in our families be impacted and in our ministries. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. At this time, I would like for Apostle Zeta to come back forth, and I would like for her to extend the invitation to a relationship with Christ and to lead you in that process. Apostle Zeta, would you be so kind as to bless us?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You have heard the message. You have heard the word of God. And as Apostle Shirlene was saying, it is for everyone. Hallelujah. The leaders, the listeners in. Hallelujah. The saved and the unsaved. Hallelujah. The word of God went forth. Hallelujah. And it does not come back void, but it does go out and accomplish what it set out to do. Praise God.
Yes.
And we invite you, hallelujah, to come into the Lord's presence. And if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you certainly can today. Hallelujah. The word is near, hallelujah, even in your mouth. Praise God. So I'm going to share some scriptures right now quickly, and then we're going to go into prayer. Praise God. Romans 10. Hallelujah. 10 and 9, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
So by faith, hallelujah, we confess. Praise God. And verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to read a few more scriptures because they all go with this. The 11th verse says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, no matter what you have gone through, no matter what you have done, hallelujah, personally in your own life, praise God, you don't have to be ashamed of it. The Bible says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, and for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever, doesn't matter who you are, shall call upon the name of the Lord and shall be saved. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If there's any among us right now that desire to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, hallelujah, I would like to lead you into a prayer, praise God, where you are able to confess your own self with your own mouth, hallelujah, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. And he came, hallelujah, that we might live and live more abundantly. Praise God. If you're ready, I'm going to ask that you repeat after me. Hallelujah. Father God, I come to you this morning confessing that I am a sinner, wanting to be saved. Hallelujah. Wanting to accept you into my heart. Hallelujah. Into my life. Hallelujah. That I may be able to know you. Hallelujah. In the pardoning of my sins and learn more about you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise God. So if you're ready to do this today, and I believe today is your appointed time. Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Lord has made room for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, you can repeat after me. I come to you confessing my sins.
Yes.
And desiring to be saved right now in the name of Jesus. I want
all
you
right.
to teach me your ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to turn away from my sinful life, hallelujah, and have a rightful life in you, Christ Jesus. So I am accepting you today, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. And I pray, and I want to pray this prayer for you. Father God,
yes.
These ones have accepted you, hallelujah, and confess with their mouth, hallelujah. I pray, Lord, for them, that you will help them to be stronger, that they will be in a ministry, hallelujah, that
yes,
teaches
Lord.
The word of God, the true word of God, hallelujah, that they may grow, hallelujah, in you, Christ Jesus, and be all, hallelujah, that you have called
yes.
them to be. In Jesus' holy
yes.
and righteous name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, no one has alerted me that they want to have a word this morning. So, hallelujah, you will now hear from our bishop, Bishop Lester Carver. Amen.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. Before I get started this morning, I want to read the scripture from John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. This is the message for the today. Jesus Christ says, believes in me, the work that I do, he will do also. In great work than me, he will do from the day of my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We've had a wonderful thing here happen in Indianapolis, Indiana, in the middle of the country, where we were experiencing the smoke from the Canadian forest fires. And it had degraded air quality from 50 to 250. It was just terrible. People couldn't breathe. And so this pastor on our prayer group prayed for the forces to clear the air, for all of the smoke to dissipate. And that day that he prayed resulted in this storm. It was really like rain and wind and everything that happened that evening. And the next day, all of the air was clear, but as a result of the rainstorm and the winds and everything that cleared the air, the entire city. And we have to begin walking in our authority as men of God, understanding that Jesus Christ told us these things are available. And now that we are time with that price that has been paid and that word that was spoken, we have to believe. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you to walk in the fullness of your authority and understand that the works that we do are greater, not that they're greater than the work that Jesus Christ did, because Christ walked in himself, but to cause each and every one of us to have that same power of the Holy Spirit within us. Those works are happening all over the world every day, but we just have to believe and receive and
thank you, Jesus.
So that's the word for the men.
Amen. Glory
Amen.
To God. Praise to God. You have indeed been listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. We truly pray that you heard something that uplifted your spirit and blessed your very soul. We pray that you will continue to have a beautiful and blessed week. And now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. Until we come together again, I pray it all in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. Everyone that is in the studio, you are now unmuted. I just want to say I love you, family. You are dismissed. Go with God. And remember, he really loves you, and so do we. All right, thank you, God. You did a beautiful job.
Thank you so much, Apostle Cook, for the love we left you.
I love you. Thank you. God bless you. Glory to God in all things. Love you, Apostle. Love you, everybody. God bless you. Love you, Marty. Love you. Love you, Lee and Terry. Love you all.
Love you. Love you.
Have a blessed week.
Yes. You too, my sister Zeta. I love you.